Okay, and welcome back. It's time for our Friday edition of the Jeff and Erica rundown of what's latest and what's happening in the world of mass death, mass suffering, injuries to people that do not improve in virtually every case, and what's coming. And what's coming is much more of the same. And they're beginning to try to beat the drum again that COVID is killing people. No, they don't have it right. The original COVID virus is long gone. What's around, though, is the spike protein. And the spike protein is annihilating the immune systems. No more immunological competence for those who have been shot up with the bioweapon. Their immune system is imploding, caving in, collapsing, disappearing. And they are now open, just like an HIV AIDS victim, to AIDS and all the different kinds of infections and pathogens that can make their way into their human bodies, or what's left of their human bodies. And they're dying. They're dying of, I would suggest, that even the common cold now is too much. When you have no immune function, you're toast. You don't have a chance. So we're going to talk more about that during this next 90 minutes, quite a bit. Erica is back, and we've been working hard on this, as always, to try to bring you relevant, competent, reasonably accurate information. And I say that because we do not have access to the laboratory results of all this. We don't know all the ingredients, but we've done a heck of a job. And from the beginning, Erica she's never been wrong in any of her summations, her projections, her forecasts. She's got it. So we presented to you, we think, the highest quality of information on our side of the road, our side of the street, as we can, for well over a year now. And we hope it has made a difference in your lives, a positive one. Welcome back, young lady.
Oh, thank you, Jeff. That's quite the compliment. All I can say is, you know, we're trying, just trying to match up, you know, what we're reading, what they're telling us versus what we're actually seeing.
And what they're telling us is an awful lot of bullshit, excuse me, but that's what they do. They're not telling us straight. They never will. It's up to us to try to connect the dots. It's like a jigsaw puzzle, and we're putting a piece in here and a piece in there, and then we get a nice little quadrant that we can kind of read. And this spike protein, though, is just horrific. Now, here's another story. We just got this one from the UK. Baby drowns in 3 inches of bathwater when her mother fainted a day after taking a COVID bioweapon injection. The little kid was getting a bath. She bent over to pick the baby up, and that's the last thing she says she remembers. This is an attorney in England. So, you know, doesn't matter how many letters you have after your name, you take that shot. Why would she take that shot? And it wasn't the first one. I'll bet anything it was probably number two, maybe number three. But let me read this real quick to give you all an idea of how insane this is. The Bournemouth inquest heard Ellie was born. This is the little baby, Eleanor, Ellie. She was born prematurely at 33 weeks and had a heart defect as well as feeding problems, which meant she was born underweight. Now, why would she be born at 33 weeks with a heart defect?
I can't imagine.
Can't imagine. You don't suppose mom got shot up, do you, during pregnancy or before pregnancy? See, this is where people are just unable to logically, in a linear sense, think anymore. They can't do it. Or they choose not to. The little baby, this poor little child, was in all likelihood deformed during gestation and was due, the story says, to have heart surgery on March 25th. And this is a while back. This story is, I guess, a little older. Maybe not. Let me check the date here. That's a date. Daily Mail, May 13th. No, it's current. So they're talking back. She was due to have heart surgery March 25th, and Mrs. Atkinson, the mother, said she had struggled to sleep or eat in the days beforehand due to anxiety about the surgery. There was also the added stress of arranging COVID tests for her and her husband so they could accompany Ellie during her planned 10-day visit in the hospital for the heart surgery. Mrs. Atkinson said she decided to give her daughter a bath as she had been sick during her morning feeding and needed a surgical wash ahead of being admitted to the hospital for the procedure. She said she began bathing her daughter at 10:30 a.m. and da-da-da-da-da. This would typically last 10 or 15 minutes. And she reached over to pick up the child, and that was all she remembered. So that was it. So just another in the endless stories of victims. Had the child survived, she obviously had serious, formidable heart problems, which she would probably have to face for the rest of her life, however long that might have lasted. So maybe she was saved a lot of grief. I don't know. These are all tragedies, no matter how you look at them.
Yeah, I just, how many others are out there like that? Similar situations. I am hearing a lot of people have balance issues after these shots. Mm-hmm. And I don't know that if they're connecting them with the shots, but I there does seem to be a preponderance of people falling these days. I had an acquaintance of mine whose sister was shot and ended up falling down a set of stairs and knocked herself out and died. It was a day or two before the family found her. But I wonder if they're connecting it, or they just think she had an accident.
I think there's a real denial at work here. People don't mm-hmm. want to go there because it would put responsibility on their shoulders that they screwed up. And people don't want to do that. It's an inherent human quality. So they'll project it any one of a number of ways. And not tie it to the vax. That's my opinion. Here's another one for you. Now, let me jump ahead on our list. I'm going to jump down here and find this story. Where is it? 47. Here. Aches, anxiety, exhaustion. Adults say now they only feel good about 47% of the time. What have we been suggesting to you for many weeks?
Mm-mm. Yeah, people are not not feeling right. And I've actually heard that from a few people that I know. They have a feeling of, they describe it as malaise. Blah.
A lot of them aren't. They're not going out. They don't feel good enough to go out. Less traffic on the roads in some cases, not all cases, but some cases. You'll see that. So if less 47% don't feel good, that's half. They're not going to go out. A lot of them, they're just going to stay home, watch TV, eat, gain a few more pounds, whatever. Mm. 1 in 4 respondents say they deal with anxiety at least once a week. And 40% battle muscle aches on most every day. On an especially depressing note, just under 6 in 10, that's 57%, say they rarely feel on top of their game anymore physically. Another 61% have simply accepted that aches and pains are now, after the vax, part of their daily lives. Now, here's the funny part. The poll put together by My Vibe also asked respondents why they think they're in such bad shape all of a sudden. Now, here comes the denial. The top answers included not exercising enough, poor diet, and not having enough hours in a day. See? You're right. They will not look at that kill shot. They won't do it.
No. No, I think most of them believe that they've done something good for themselves by getting this thing. You can rationalize this 16 different ways.
Sure. That's why so many of them are running out and saying things like, damn it, I wouldn't have had this heart thing if I'd have gotten my booster in time.
That's common. Yes.
Yes.
They honestly believe that if they had gotten COVID not having had the vax, it would have been much worse.
Over the course of an average 24-hour period, including time spent sleeping, respondents estimate they only feel 100% right for around 10 hours and 12 minutes a day. Most adults seem to feel better in the morning and worse at night. See, does this not fit in perfectly with what we've been saying?
It does. It does.
All in all, only 63% of the respondents said they would consider themselves healthy. Only 63% of the vaxxed. On a related note, 23% have recently put themselves on a diet. 41% starting to go to bed earlier, another 41% trying to drink more water. Well, that's going to straighten everything right out. No problem.
Yeah, I hear that a lot from in these various groups, that people who are having adverse reactions after the vax or even before the vax as a form of pre-medicating, drink lots of water. Which is, you know, it's okay advice, but I don't know why they think that's going to be really a major determinant in how they fare after this genetic intervention.
It's all amazing. Here's another interesting little stat. 2 in 3 adults, 68%, say they've become accustomed to simply accepting the days they feel poorly and are content to wait the days out until tomorrow comes.
Wow.
What a horrible way to live. So even those who somehow sidestep the catastrophic injuries, this is their life. This is what they have to live.
Yeah, so they're not really living. They're just existing.
Well said. Yeah.
That's sad.
Yeah, and not one word about the vax. They don't talk about it. And I think the vax rate in the UK, excuse me, was it over 80%, something like that? It was way up there.
I think it depends where you are. I think Wales had exceptionally high rates, as did Ireland.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they were approaching, I think, 90%. It was high. Maybe, and Scotland as well.
I think Ireland is over 90. I think Nurse Anne made that mention.
Yes.
So there you go. Okay, here's another one for you all. This will make you laugh. Trudeau's Canada is going to begin paying the poor to be euthanized. Did you get that one?
Incredible.
The Canadian government has devised a devilish new solution to solve inflation, homelessness, skyrocketing crime, and food shortages all in one. Euthanasia for the poor.
Well, I guess they couldn't force them to take the vax, so we'll just cut to the chase and
pay them to
offer
themselves.
You money just to kill yourself.
Well, the Trudeau regime... And up in Canada, they don't pronounce it Trudeau, but I'll just be kind here. Say they are now offering to pay to euthanize people who are, quote, too poor to continue living with dignity, end quote. Did you get that? Let me do that again. The Trudeau regime say they are now offering to pay to euthanize people who are, quote, too poor to continue living with dignity. Wow.
Well, they, I believe in Canada, the euthanasia has been an option since 2015. You know, medical yeah. suicide of some sort. Yeah, assisted suicide. So this is just an extension of that. And did they say how much?
I'm looking. On Wednesday, Tucker discussed Canada's shocking euthanasia program on his program. Somebody who's written a book on the subject. His name is Charles Camusi. According to Camusi, Canada's policies are pure evil. You think so, Charlie? The Gateway Pundit reports in 2021 the Canadian Parliament enacted Bill C-7, which greatly expanded the valid reasons for medically assisted suicide. Coined as a sweeping euthanasia law, the bill removed most restrictions and made it possible for Canadians to legally be euthanized based on their living situation. Oh my, as determined and evaluated by the government? Oh, these living quarters are not suitable, and we're going to have to put you down.
Boy, they're not hiding it anymore.
Out
there.
This is beyond Orwell. Now, thanks to the morally unjust new law, just about anyone is eligible for medically assisted suicide if they wish. How much longer will that end phrase remain? If they wish.
Right.
It'll be changed if the government decides. If public health workers decide. We're really close to that. Really close.
Well, it's like we've been inching towards it all along. This is like boiling a frog, one degree at a time. Just inch people a little closer every couple of months. With some predictive programming, just, you know, gently float these ideas out there, and then they become accepted.
5 years ago, the story summarizes, it would have been difficult to believe that a modern civilized Western nation would allow people to commit medically assisted suicide because they think they lack dignity. We were all created in the image of God and therefore all have dignity and worth. Suicide should never be an option, especially if it's happily being paid for by the government. No amount is listed here. That goes double for ones that run by, of course, Herr Schwab and the WEF. They're aligned with dictator Justin Trudeau. Look, this is really... We're very close to having the government make the decision, not the individual.
Mm-hmm.
Very close. It's just around the corner.
Yeah, it's frightening.
We have, we do try to spend a lot of time on the program putting a human face on the suffering and grief that so many are being made to endure in silence. They are being censored. They are not really allowed in many cases to talk about their crisis. It's just awful. And there are a number of stories that we have read. We've got another one we're going to present for you right now. It's in three little sections. Let me do the first one, then Eric will do the second one, and we'll see how it goes from that. This is from someone named, the name starts with a Z. We'll leave it at that. It's a male. Got that poison stuck in me 7 months ago. Suffered for 2 months. Got an MRI. Showed I had myocarditis and then peri. Still suffering to this day. Had another MRI yesterday, 5 months later. And recall... that the results just came back and said, I'm in the exact same shape. No change whatso-effing-ever. I'm done with this. Life's literally finished. Never in my life have I been this depressed, suffering every second of the day. And people step in with comments. Every time I see the media describe these conditions as resolving quickly, I just want to vomit, says one. Another says, I know, safe and effective, my backside. Another one says, same, I'm outraged every time. And another one repeats, even my new doctor said, no, it resolves quickly. You shouldn't be feeling the same after 4 months. It must be something else. And the second part, Erica?
All right, it continues with more comments. So sorry to hear. Did doctors prescribe any medication? Are they not working? Are you staying away from physical activity? I have just recently accepted that it might take a year of doing absolutely nothing to recover from it. And someone replies to that, almost a year here, and doctor says he has seen longer before recovering. And the initial poster comes back with, for 7 months I haven't done anything. I've lost 12 kilograms because I don't train anymore. Taken every medication they've given me, nothing helping, just suffering each day. And then that former commenter said, I was training every day too, and it's been 7 months for me as well. I can't even go for a long walk now without getting pain, palpitations, or both. Drinking water and eating properly is helping me. Anti-inflammatory meds like ibuprofen help with some of the pain. Stay strong. Someone offers, have you tried antihistamines? My daughter takes Zyrtec. It helps with the inflammation. Another one chimes in and says, if it's any consolation, I'm now at 11 months post one Pfizer with a diagnosis of pericarditis. I'm feeling better than I was at 7 months, still not, quote, over it, and still have bad days. And like so many others who trained prior, I have done zero exercise in 11 months and lost a load of weight and muscle I didn't wish to lose, however. However, I am getting better as time goes by. Hang in there. It's a long road, unfortunately.
The original poster adds, every medication, anti-inflammatory, aspirin, colchicine, nothing is working. Colchicine, he misspelled it.
Yeah, he misspelled it, colchicine.
Thank you. Nothing is working. I'm just suffering each and every day. And he adds on to it, damn sorry to hear that regarding an earlier comment. This is the original poster. I also took those, and it didn't help at all. Some, like colchicine, made the pain worse. But I got prescribed a beta blocker for an irregular and high rhythm, and that has helped me quite a lot. Another person says, have you tried NAC and magnesium taurate, vitamin D, C, and zinc? And the original says, yep, every day I've been taking those. Another person says, God knows how many things I've been taking for this last 7 months. And the original poster finishes off by saying, I'm going to give a... Why don't you finish this? You on it?
I'm on it. I'm going to give a different perspective here, and probably not a popular one, but don't take things to boost your immune system. Your immune system is already in overdrive from the hyperimmune response to the vax. My daughter didn't take any vitamins, only what she got from food for 7 months. Hyping up your immune system can keep the inflammation going. That's how your body fights injury, by creating inflammation. Try stopping those things and see if there's a difference. I'd say that's pretty good advice.
I agree.
But this is from a myocarditis and pericarditis post-vax group. And there's close to 2,000 people in this one particular group. And these are people that just, their hearts are damaged. And I'm not sure that a lot of them appreciate that this, having this condition is, it's no small thing. It's not easily remedied, as they're finding out. And they maybe, you know, have some severe damage from this, fibrosis most notably, for the rest of their lives.
I would bet on it. But don't worry. Canada is setting the lead now.
That's right. If you're fed up with your situation, just kill yourself. We'll help you.
Yeah. They'll give you $500 and you can give it to your surviving spouse, family, whatever. I don't know what they give. I'm just making that up. But they'll pay for the tab.
Well, they're probably trying to find that you know, what amount will tempt people to do this. How much is it going to take?
I'm sure you're right. No doubt. All right, Eric and I will be right back after the top of the hour intermission. We have some very interesting material ahead as well, so we hope you stay right with us.